remember his blessings and what he's brought us through, so that we know he can bring us through the troubles to come.
Amen.
Get your Bibles this morning open to Colossians chapter 1. I like to begin with three quotes from some great men of God. E.M. Bounds said this: "What the church needs today is not more or better machinery, not new organizations or more or novel ideals or methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men of prayer." Andrew Murray said this. He said, "The man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contributions to world evangelism in history." S.D. Gordon said this, "The greatest thing anyone can do for God is pray. It is the only thing, but it is the chief thing. The great people of earth are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer, but I mean those people who take time to pray." Amen. Prayer is one of the most talked about subjects among Christians and one of the things we do the least.
Amen.
Now I know we pray in our church. We pray in a Bible study. We pray in our worship service and in our Sunday school. When I say that prayer is one of the things we do the least, I mean it seems that prayer is not an integral part of our daily lives. In our message today, and we're going to finish up our sermon series, Love is the Key, we're going to talk about loving with our prayers. And this is very important today in our society because everyone needs prayer. Everyone needs prayed for. I don't care what you're going through, what your situation is, what you're facing today, we all could stand to be prayed for.
Amen.
We all need the church's prayers. And I especially need your prayers as I try to bring God's word every week, bring messages that are effective, that can touch your life and change your life. I need your prayers more than anything that you could do for me. In Colossians chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 9 through 14. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given me to bring. We pray, God, that you'll take it and use it in a mighty way and show people, Lord, that we need prayer. We need prayer warriors in our church. We need prayer warriors to lift up those people who are so in need today in our lives. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bless this message, You'll bless the hearers, and we pray, God, you'll bless those that could not be here today for whatever reason. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, our prayers must be constant. Our prayers must be consistent. Our prayers must be intently praying for other people. Paul's habit was to be consistently in prayer for the people of God. He was consistently in prayer for every church he encountered, every church he taught at, every church he ministered to, every church he went through. Paul always prayed for churches. Listen very carefully to me, my friend. To the Roman church, Paul said this, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." To the church at Corinth, Paul said this, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given unto you by Jesus Christ." To the church at Ephesus, Paul said this, "Cease not to give thanks for you. Make mention of you in my prayers." To the Philippians, Paul said this, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." In his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul said this, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." And in his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul said this, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth." Paul was always constantly in prayer for individual people and individual churches throughout his ministry after he was called. On the Damascus Road, Paul was a man of prayer. He prayed for every church he encountered. He prayed for every church he was in. He prayed for every church he ministered to. Paul was a man of prayer. Amen. He prayed and he knew God would answer his prayers. That's key. Paul knew God would answer every request that he made. He was confident that God would move in the churches and that Paul would always be a man of prayer. To the Philemon, Paul wrote this, "I thank my God make mention of thee always in my prayers." Paul's prayer life was an important part of his personal attempt to exalt Christ. If you are concerned for the kingdom and for Christ, we worship, we too will be consistently and constantly in prayer for the people around us. Listen, we know of people like the people in Waverly, like the people that have been hit by tornadoes, the people that have been hit by hurricanes, the people out in California. They go through the disastrous fires they go through. Everywhere in our nation, we see people that are in need of our prayers. The great theologian C.H. Spurgeon once said this, "Prayer pulls the rope down below and the great bell rings above in the ears of God." Some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so loudly. Others give only an occasional jerk at the rope. But he who communicates with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might. Listen, God listens to our prayers. God hears every prayer of the Christian. Now, if you're here and you're lost, you need to understand this. God does not hear the prayer of an unrighteous man. The only prayer that God hears of an unrighteous man is the prayer of repentance. Yes. Until you have a relationship with God, your prayers do not reach above the ceiling that you're sitting under. Amen. God only hears the prayers of the righteous. God only hears the prayers of those people that have given their heart to Him. Paul was a man of prayer. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, pray without ceasing. What does it mean to never stop praying? It means that prayer is an integral part of our lives. It is not something I do because I'm at church. It is not something I do occasionally because I think God requires it. It is what I do because it is a very part of my Christian life. I pray naturally. I pray under the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the church. I pray for the people of the church. I pray for our community. I pray for everybody around this world that we live in. So, we always need to be consistent and constantly in prayer. Listen, I must reach the point where I believe I could not survive spiritually if I were not in constant communication with God. And after a time, prayer becomes not just something I do, but it becomes part of who I am. The very life becomes synonymous with prayer. It becomes my identity. If we are to love God and others through prayer, our prayers must be constant and consistent always. We must be in prayer to God always and the throne of grace, praying for those people in need, praying for our church, praying for our community, praying for the lost, praying for those people that need prayer more than anything in their life. Listen, you can give always to people one thing. You can give them your prayers. You may not have the money to give them. You may not be able to give them their time. You may not be able to give them material wealth. But there's one thing you can do for everybody. You can pray. Amen. You can lift them up in prayer and lift them up to Jesus. Secondly, our prayers should be for each other. In verse 9, Paul doesn't always discuss praying continually. He also states the object of prayer. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul wanted the church to be full of the knowledge of God. Paul wanted the church to be full of knowing the will of God. He always was intent on preaching to the people to be closer to God. And that's what our prayer should be. Our prayer should be that everybody will have a better and closer relationship to God the Father. Why? Because until we get close to God, until we are in tune with God, until we are one with God, we cannot receive the blessings of God like the Bible says. So it should be our intent and our motivation to preach and to teach that everybody pray for the closeness of everyone to be closer and closer to God the Father. Yeah. As we come together as a church, we come together as a family of God. And why do we come together? We come together to not only encourage each other, but to pray for each other. We come to lift our prayers up to God. Now, we pray for many things on many different occasions. We pray for ourselves, for our families, for 1,000 other things, and that is fine and good. But let's focus On this one aspect of prayer, Paul mentions in the Word of God in Colossians. Listen, we as Christians should be praying for each other. What would happen if we made a concentrated effort to pray for each other in this church? Would lives be changed? Would people be encouraged? Would God's blessings be poured out upon us? I believe all of these things and more would take place if we would take the time to pray for each other. Yes. Listen, all of us have needs. All of us need prayer. All of us can show the love of God to others through our prayers. Howard Hendricks, professor at Dallas Seminary, shared the following story, and I want you to listen very close. He said, years ago, in a church in Dallas, we were having trouble finding a teacher for a junior high boys class. The list of prospects had only one name, and when they told me who it was, I said, you've got to be kidding. But I couldn't have been more wrong about the young man. He took the class and revolutionized it. I was so impressed, I invited him to my home for lunch and asked him the secret of his success. He pulled out a little black book. On each page, he had a small picture of one of the boys, and under the boy's name were comments like, having trouble in arithmetic, or comes to church against parents' wishes, or would like to be a missionary someday, but doesn't think he has what it takes. He said, I pray over these pages every day, and I can hardly wait to come to church each Sunday to see what God has been doing in the prayers lives of these people. This man was dedicated to praying for his class. Listen, you may not be able to do anything for people, but you can pray. Amen. We all can pray. We all, if you're a Christian, we all have access to the throne of God. We all have access to God, and we can all pray for the needs of the people around us. How do you show love? You pray for people. You pray for them, you pray for them, and you pray for them. You never stop praying. Do you want a practical application for the principle of praying for others in church? Get out a list of those in your Sunday school class or those in some of you that are you are closest to, which belong to the church, and begin praying for everyone on that list. And every week you'll begin to see the changes God is making in their lives. And if we all begin to do that, then nobody will be left out of the process. What a beautiful picture. The family of God all lifting each other up before the throne of grace. Listen, if you don't have anybody to pray for, pray for me. But I can assure you there are people in this church that need your prayers. There are people in our community that need your prayers. There are people all around the world that need our prayers. Thirdly, our prayers should be a result oriented. Colossians chapter 1. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look in verses 9 through 11. And remember what Paul said. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now we are not praying merely to go through the motion or because it's the right thing to do. We pray because We expect certain results from our prayer. If you're praying, not expecting a result, you're praying for the wrong reason.
Amen.
God answers prayers. He answers every prayer of the Christian. Now, this should be mentioned right here. God does answer every prayer of the Christian. Sometimes the answer is yes, and it's immediate. Sometimes the answer is wait, and it takes God time to answer the prayer. Sometimes the answer is no, and God will give you a definite response even if that is a no. You may be praying for somebody to be healed, but it may not be God's will to heal them.
Amen.
God may want to take them home. I had thousands of people praying for Terry. I had thousands of people on Facebook, thousands of churches praying for her to be healed. But it was not God's will to heal her.
Amen.
It was His will to take her home. I accept that. I'm at peace with that because I know where she's at. Don't ever think God is not answering your prayers because you do not see results. Maybe the answer was no. Maybe it was a definite no. He did not want to do what you asked Amen. Him to do.
Amen. That's right.
More times than not, it may be out of the will of God.
Right.
We must be asking, the Bible says, if we pray anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know we have the petitions that we ask of Him. We must ask for things in the will of God and ask for things in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said this. Jesus said, anything you ask in My name, I'll do it. Those are the two requisites of having your prayers answered. Praying in the name of Jesus, asking in the name of Jesus, and praying according to the will of God. Because God might not answer your prayer. Now, He may answer it even if it's not in His will. But we are assured that God will answer our prayers if we pray for things inside His will. God always hears our prayers. Listen, my friend, we're not trying to persuade God to do what we want, but to find out what He wants us to do. We're not trying to force God to listen to us as much as we are trying to make ourselves listen to Him. Prayer is a great object, is to know the will of God, that He would fulfill our brothers and sisters with a complete knowledge of His will. That's what Paul prayed for. He wanted his people to be filled with all wisdom. And notice what it says in verse 9. Paul wanted the people to be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Those two things are vital in the Christian's life. Paul wanted them to be filled with wisdom, and not only the wisdom, but he wanted them to be filled with spiritual understanding so that they would know how to use that wisdom they had. Listen, you may be the smartest man on the block, but if you don't know how to use that wisdom that you've got, it's useless. You may be the greatest carpenter on the block, but unless you apply the tools of the trade to building a house, it does absolutely no good.
Amen.
You may be the greatest electrician that ever lived, but unless you apply your skills to that trade in doing electrical work, it will have no results. That's the same way with a Christian. You may be praying for God to use you, but if you don't go out in the fields that are white with harvest and use your talents to tell people about Jesus,
It's not doing any good.
You may be a person that says, I'm not able to witness.
Let me tell you something. We're all called to be witnesses for Jesus. All you've got to do is tell people your testimony. Tell them how God changed your life. You ain't got to be a theologian to be a witness. You ain't got to know a lot of Bible scripture to be a witness. All God says is, just tell them about Jesus. Tell them about how He has changed your life. Tell them about how He has changed you. That's all you've got to do. Just tell them how He brought you out of that miry pit and set your foot on a solid rock. Yes. That's all you've got to do. Explain to them how He has used you. We also pray that God might change our human situation. Paul prayed that Colossians would have spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual wisdom is needed to understand the great truths of God. Understanding is knowing how to apply those principles to life. It is very possible to be a Bible scholar who is an expert on what God has said and still make a complete wreck out of your life. We need to know not just what Christianity means, but how it can change our lives on a day-to-day basis. Now, this knowledge of God's will and spiritual wisdom and understanding, we pray for the results it is conduit in our lives and our daily living to reach those who need spiritual help. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul prays that his friends might conduct themselves in such a way that pleases God. Prayer and action go hand in hand. We pray not in order to escape life, but to be better able to meet life's demands. Not to do all this, to reap the results of prayer, we need power. Therefore, Paul prays that Colossians might be strengthened with the power of God. The great problem in life is not knowing what to do, but actually doing it. Committing ourselves to doing it. I'll say that again. The great problem in life is not knowing what to do. It's going out and doing it. Many people know how to witness. Many people know how to reach people for Jesus, but they never put it in action. They never go out and tell anybody about Jesus. Listen, God expects us to put the faith and the wisdom He has given us and the spiritual understanding He has brought into our lives, He expects us to use it and to go out and tell people about Jesus. Invite them to church and tell them about God's great love. Prayer and action go hand in hand. We pray and we pray and we pray. Why do we pray? Because we believe God hears our prayers. Therefore, Paul prays that Colossians can be strengthened with all the power of God. Listen, for the most part, we are all aware in any given situations that we ought to do. The problem is putting the knowledge into action. What we need is power, and we receive that power through prayer. Through prayer, God not only gives us the knowledge of His will, He also gives us the power to see it through in our lives. Fourthly, our prayers should be filled with praise. Our prayers should be filled with praise. What should we praise God for? Paul gives us a practical list in Colossians 1, 12 and 14. Give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us met to be partakers of the inheritance of light, saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness
and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Think about this, my friend. Think about it very importantly. God has enabled us to receive an inheritance. God has rescued us from Satan and darkness. God has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. All of these things Paul mentions have an ideal of transference. A change has taken place in our condition in relationships to God. There are four basic areas we find here in which our prayers should be filled with praise. Number one, we have been transferred from darkness to light. Do you realize when you were lost, you did not know where you were walking? You were walking in darkness. You were walking, you might have been had a course of life, but you did not have any spiritual understanding. But now that you've been transferred into light, God gives you spiritual light. Without God, men grope and stumble as they were walking in the dark. They know not what to do, and they do not know where they're going. Their lives are lived in the shadows of doubt and in darkness of ignorance. In Jesus Christ, God has given us the light by which we live and by which we die. Once we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can say in a spiritual sense what the blind man said in a physical sense. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, walking in darkness, but now I have the light of the Lord, and I'm walking in that light. Listen, my friend. Secondly, we have been transferred from slavery to freedom. Paul says that our freedom has been purchased by Jesus Christ. The word used in many translations is redemption. The word redemption was the word used for the emancipation of slaves and for the buying back of something that was in the possession of someone else. Without God, men are slaves to their fears. They are slaves to their sin. They are slaves to their own helplessness, for they know not what each day brings. Yet in Christ, we have liberation. We are free from our fears. We are free from bondage. We are free from Satan's grasp. We are free from everything Satan has brought upon our lives. So, the price of redemption has been paid. The cost was a murdered God hanging on the cross. That was the price that was demanded for our redemption. So that was the price Jesus willingly paid. Thirdly, we have been transferred from condemnation to forgiveness. Think about this, my friend. Man in his sin deserves nothing but the condemnation of God. If we all got what we deserved, we would all die in our sins. But God said, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you what I want you to have. I'm going to give you forgiveness of sin. I'm going to give you a new life. If we all got what we deserve, man in his sin deserves nothing but the condemnation of God. Yet through the work of Christ, he finds love and forgiveness. He knows that through Christ, he is no longer a condemned criminal awaiting the judgment seat, but a lost man who has found the way home is finally opened up. And lastly, we have been transferred from the power of Satan to the power of God. Through Christ Jesus, man has been liberated from the grip of Satan, and he is able to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Listen very carefully, my friend. God, in his triumph love, transfers men from the realm of sin and darkness into a realm of holiness and light. Think about that. When you were a lost man,
You were walking in darkness, but Christ brought you into the light. He is the light of the world. John chapter 1 says Christ is the light of the world, and he gives that light to every man who believes in him. God, in his triumph love, transfers men from the realm of sin and darkness into the realm of holiness and light. For these things we praise God the Father, to exalt the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, I'd like to close in the same way I began, with quotation from some great men of God. Samuel Chadwick said this: "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from powerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom. He trembles when we pray." Charles Spurgeon said this: "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." Because prayer is a powerful thing in our life. And my friend, if you pray, and if you have prayer in your life, let me tell you something. That when you pray for someone else, what are you showing them? You're showing them your love. We're loving through our prayers because we pray for those that cannot pray for themselves. We pray for those that need our prayers. We pray for those that are indigent, those that don't have a mind, those that may be in the hospital with dementia, those that may be dying from COVID. We pray for those because we want to show our love to them through prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your words you've given us this morning. We pray, Father, that you would take this message and use it in a mighty way in the lives of the people. Lord, prayer is a powerful thing. And as we come to you today, we pray for those that are lost. We pray for our invitation. We pray that if there is a need of anyone in our church today, that they may come to the throne of grace today. And we ask you, Lord, that you would touch them with your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.